It's time for our pull apart today. And if you've just joined us for the first time on a Wednesday, what happens is we literally pull apart a story or an issue or something that concerns the way we live our lives. And, you know, if there's an iconic Australian figure immortalized in poetry, it would probably be the man from Snowy River. But perhaps it should actually be the horse that we should be immortalizing, because if you know the poem, there's that wonderful thrill where there's the mad dash down the mountainside. But the reason why that mad dash is possible, because there's actually a small and weedy beast. It's hard, it's tough, it's wiry, and it's got a touch of the Timor pony in him. And that's what allows a man from Snowy River to do what he does. So today in our Pull Apart segment, we're looking at that relationship between a horse rider and the horse. What makes it work? Where the mistakes creep in, and why the man from Snowy River let the pony have his head. Joining us in the studio is Franklin Leveson. Franklin is an international horsemanship trainer, which I think means I can call him a horse whisperer. I'll find out, because, Franklin, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Can I call you a horse whisperer?
Well, a lot of people call it that, so I'm comfortable with the term. That's all right.
Do you whisper to horses?
I am a very good listener to horses, and I speak to them calmly and quietly. So the term whisper refers to this calm, quiet communication.
And that's at the very core of the relationship we all should have with horses, isn't it?
Absolutely. The horse is a fear-based animal because it's prey, eaten by other critters, predators. So the more safety you can facilitate within the horse's feelings, the better shot you have of developing trust and respect in the relationship.
I want to talk more about that in detail in a moment. But when did you first discover that perhaps you had a talent for communicating well with horses?
My father was a polo player. I grew up on polo fields and polo grounds. And at a very young age, I was a hot walker. I'd be sitting on one horse, and I've had four horses stretched out on either side of me that had just come off the field, and they were all pumped up and sweaty and breathing hard, and they would calm down with me very quickly.
Because I was going to say that would be a potentially very dangerous situation to be in.
It could be. But I seem to have a knack for allowing or helping horses to settle down, to calm down, to feel more peaceful. Probably, as I've came to realize as I grew up, because I seem to have a nice sense of inner calm, and horses like that.
I'm feeling it now. I'm not even making it up. I feel very relaxed around you immediately, and we've just met. And so you were on your father put you on this horse, and you were the hot walker. Did you even know when he handed you the reins of the eight other horses that you were going to be able to manage?
Well, I had started riding when I was seven, and started hot walkering at about 10.
Oh,
so
okay.
I had a few years before that to kind of get my feet in the stirrups.
I would so to speak, I would have thought that the polo sector would have been a place where there's a lot of controlling going on. This is where the horse has to be at the beck and call of the rider, and often at a moment's notice. Does that mean polo riders are good riders?
Well, you need to be able to sit a horse quite well. It's a pretty active, fast sport.
Yeah.
But for me, even though I played polo for quite a few years, what became my strong interest was the horse itself. See, there's a big difference between the world of the horse and the human activity of riding horses. And what's overlooked a lot and not talked about very much is the actual world of the horse itself, aside from the human activity of riding. So it's become my mission to teach horse to people. I can teach riding, and I love riding, and that's when you go take riding lessons, it's all about riding, riding, riding. But for me, the world of the horse is a wonderful world it's a magical, and it has a lot of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Horse is very honest. It's a very straightforward critter. It's very easy to deal with a horse if you understand him. It's the human part of that equation that kind of gets a little sidetracked sometimes.
Franklin, imagine I'm a horse. Not hard. imagine I'm a horse. We've just met for the first time. You've literally walked into my stable in this studio here. Mm. And what am I thinking about you having just met you?
Well, I would start treating you with respect right away.
Well, that'll make a change, Franklin.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't walk up and get in your face. I wouldn't speak loudly. I wouldn't move erratically. I would be calm and steady, and I would greet you verbally first, even before I got within your space.
So really?
You knew where I was.
What would you say?
I would say, good boy.
I love you already.
I would say, good boy. I would say, settle down. Everything's just fine. I'm going to come up close if it's okay. And I might take a step towards a horse, but then I would back up a step. Because predators, they keep coming at you. But if you take an advance and retreat approach with a horse, you take a step and then back up a step, another step, back up a step. You are not acting like a predator then. And the horse will get very curious about you. And then they will become trusting of you because you are thoughtful and respectful of them.
It's interesting, you know, I'm reading a novel at the moment by an Australian writer called Peter Temple. And in that book, there's a character, an older man, who has some of the gifts I think you inhabit as well. By the by, he's trained racehorses and helped with in stables for years. And he's got a new horse in the stable. And in the book, they talk about how the horse shows the whites of his eyes when you walk up close to it. And yet this man comes up to the horse, doesn't try to put his hand on the horse, holds his hand out, takes it away and puts it back, and then turns his back on the horse. And the horse can't stand the curiosity that's killing it and has to come up and find out more. That's pretty much kind of what you're describing.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. This man understands the nature of the horse. It's a fear-based animal. It's a huge flight response. If you don't over-input him with energy or touching or looking, even looking at a horse is inputting him with energy. That's why he averts his eyes. That helps a horse relax. That's what you want.
It is. Tell me about hierarchy amongst horses, because in other animals, when we have domesticated animals, we're often told, for example, with dogs, that you should be top dog. You are the alpha male in that dog's eyes if you want to have some discipline and behavior control. Mm-hmm. What about with horses?
Well, dogs live in packs. They're predators. Horses are grazing herbivores, live in herds. The herd dynamic is different than the pack dynamic.
Right.
With any group of individuals, even humans, you may have bullies. The bully is the one in the horse herd that's kind of running around, chasing the others around and exerting a lot of energy being a bully. He's not the leader of the herd. He is only a bully. He or she is only a bully. The leaders of the herd are really the head mare, that's the head female. Of course, that's the way it is in a lot of families, too.
Yes. If only we were honest about it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We think we're in charge, but it's the ladies that have it. Anyway, this head mare has the most life experience. She's the smartest. She's certainly probably not the biggest. She might be the oldest. She has the most developed sense of intuition. Is danger present? Where is the good food? Where is the good water? When is it safe to rest? When do we need to move? She makes all those decisions. The life of the herd, their survival depends on her. So when she decides it's time to move, she just moves. She goes, and they follow her. There's no coercion. There's no force. There's no bribery. Nothing. They follow her. That's their survival.
Because they trust her.
They trust her. They trust her.
And is that what we have to do?
That's the key, is develop trust. And trust in what? Trust in that they are safe with us when they are with us. We are their great, wonderful leaders. We are their sanctuary of safety. If you develop that type of relationship with the horse, they are in your hip pocket. They'll be on you like Velcro, and they will follow you anywhere through a war zone if need be.
My guest today is Franklin Levinson, who is a horsemanship trainer and horse whisperer from the US and travels the world, I guess, showing people how to talk horse and be with horses in a way that perhaps some of us are still trying to come to grips with. At the moment, Franklin, there's still people who control horses brutally and get some reaction and get what they want, perhaps, but what's that relationship like between the horse and that person?
Well, if you are developing fear with the horse, that will take you maybe some distance in the short run. Okay, dominance, fear, show them who's boss. it's really – it might take you a little ways in the short run, but ultimately, just like if you're trying to control another human through fear or force, if he can, he's going to get away. If he can't get away sooner or later, he's going to get you. He might do you some damage because of all the damage you've done to
him. At the time you most need that horse may let you down.
Exactly. But with a trust-based relationship, as in any good partnership, any good, solid, wonderful, functional relationship, mutual trust develops mutual respect. They go hand in hand, and that will produce a highly functioning relationship that will last. For competitive riders, those competitive riders who develop trust with their horses sustain a higher level of competition and winning than the guy who's forcing that horse over jumps and forcing that horse to do this and that. That horse is sooner or later going to hit the wall and stop trying to comply with requests.
In the last century, our role and relationship with horses has changed immeasurably. No longer are they used on farms or in industry as a tool. These days, horses are creatures for pleasure and leisure and competition. So how does that, therefore, change our relationship with the way we train and relate to them?
Well, because we don't have to generally put through hundreds and hundreds of horses to get them ready for the military, for instance, quickly, we now can have the relationship with the horse where we can spend time training them and developing this relationship with them. The old ways were expedient but rather rough.
How much time can we now spend? How long would it take me to really develop a bond with a horse?
Well,
properly.
If you understand what you're doing, you can do it quickly.
Yeah.
But if you're kind of a newbie at it.
Yeah. You're talking about me here. Yeah.
Take a few weeks to 30 days. When I take a new horse in the training, I like to have him for 30 days, and I want the owner there too. Because if I train a horse for somebody and give him back to somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, whatever training I've done is going to be out the window very quickly. The human has to get on the same page. That's the way it is. That's the truth of that.
Does it matter where that horse has been raised? Because you travel all over the world. Does a South American horse have the same needs as a horse in North America?
Absolutely. A horse is a horse. They speak the same language worldwide. The humans have different cultures, different language, different beliefs, and so on. But any breed of horse still speaks horse. And if you understand that language and a bit about the psychology of the animal, you can be successful with the horse. And if you're successful with the horse, that will have a ripple effect in other areas of your life. I teach success with horses as a life enrichment proposition. You will be maybe a better father, a better spouse, a better partner, a better boss, better in all your relationships by getting really successful at a high level with a horse.
I feel calmer already. And if you just give me a chaff bag, mm-hmm. I'll follow you to the end of the earth.
Okay, super, terrific. You know, if your listeners would like to find out more information about this, I would request they visit my website at www.wayofthehorse.org. And I invite them all. It's a very horsey website. It's an international website. And I'd love to respond to anybody who wants to email me through the website.
Franklin Levinson, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I've enjoyed this a lot.